Hello and welcome to the latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. A new season. Is it a new dawn for Manchester United? We shall see. We have a very special guest on the first day of the season. It is friend of the pod. It is pod regular. It is Big Bad Dennis. How's it going, Dennis? He's had a stressful week, but fair play to him. He's here and available. How's it going, Dennis?
I'm all right, but don't build me up like that, Phil. I'm just a normal guy.
He's a normal guy that has had... Go on, Dennis.
Just a normal guy from Liverpool.
Well, from Liverpool, who supports Liverpool, Everton, and Leicester. He's got one win with Liverpool, one defeat with Leicester. Everton play tomorrow night against Leeds, so we'll see how that works out. But what is going to happen with Manchester United this season? Obviously, a manager under huge pressure at Ruben Amorim. Another manager under huge pressure is Mikel Arteta, because Arsenal have, well, they didn't necessarily choke it last season, but they definitely choked it the season before. They need to actually be winning the league title. And it's quite interesting that Ruben Amorim is under more pressure when his side finished 15th last season and were useless, compared to Mikel Arteta, whose side has been finishing in clearly in the top four, challenging for titles. So I think it just goes to show, you know, when you're managing Manchester United, you need to get results. And the manager of Everton, who Dennis now loves, David Moyes, who he didn't like when he moved to Manchester United, that was one thing he didn't realise. I don't think it was one thing that Erik ten Hag, to a little bit of extent, didn't realise, but the press didn't like Erik ten Hag. But such is life. You still have to get results and you still have to do the job. We're going to start off, because we haven't got the team news just yet, but we're going to just start off with a bit of Dennis, getting him in. What are your thoughts for Manchester United this season and for the game today?
To be honest, I really haven't formed a clear view yet about United, to be honest.
You mentioned something before about the signings being overrated.
No, that was just tongue-in-cheek, Phil.
Ah, well, another one of your tongue-in-cheek comments.
Well, I will congratulate Amorim on, though, is getting rid of players that where their attitude wasn't very good. I'm talking about Sancho, Rashford, Garnacho would be another one. And what's interesting, again, I've seen a few clips about Rashford for Barcelona, and he looked like a different player, sharp, hungry, energy. And you just think, why? You know, if Amorim, I applaud him putting his own identity on the club, but what is it about these super built-up managers who come in with massive reputations who are unable to get the best out of people like Rashford? It does raise a few alarm bells for me, because it shows a lack of man management skills and maybe a lack of thinking, actually, yeah, he is a problem. I'm not going to get the best out of him. And almost conceding defeat. So I think there's question marks. Yes, getting rid of them if their attitude wasn't right. But actually, the other question is, why couldn't he turn it round?
I mean, that's classic Dennis. He praises his manager in one arc, and then he's having a little bit of a pop at him in another arc. I mean, Ruben Amorim has come in. Marcus Rashford is not one of his players. He hasn't fitted in for whatever reason. We don't know exactly what's gone on in the background. And he's made a decision. Like, as you said, he's bombed out a certain number of players. The only player that I do feel slightly sorry for is Garnacho. He's a young player. But if the manager doesn't think he fits his system, the manager has to be in charge. United has been run by player power ever since Jose Mourinho basically said, get rid of Martial, get rid of Luke Shaw. And what happened? They got rid of Jose Mourinho. That is when the issue started. They got a yes man in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Everybody, fans will still praise Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He is a legend as a player, but as a manager, he took the club backwards because he allowed the players to run the show. Ralph Rangnick came in, said exactly what was needed at this football club and has been proven correct. But the club didn't like what he had to say, so they got the press to hammer him. And the players, they were like, they just treated him like he was a supply teacher, which was a disgrace. And that is part of the problem. Marcus Rashford can look as hungry as he wants. I have zero interest. I hope he does well at Barcelona because it means we get a 30 million payday. But one surprise being the slightest if Barcelona didn't even pay that and just took his decent performances from this season. Similarly, so how Aston Villa did. I don't think Aston Villa would have bought him for the 40 million if they'd have made the Champions League. I think they would have just sent him back to us because he would have done his job, because Marcus Rashford would be trying to prove Ruben Amorim wrong. And I think that's the wrong attitude. The attitude should be about yourself as a player and perform for Barcelona. So today's game against Arsenal, I mean, what were your thoughts on Arsenal for the first thing? I mean, they are under pressure and so is the manager, surely.
Well, that's the obvious thing, isn't it? Which manager is under pressure? Every single manager in your Premier League is under pressure.
Like Graham Potter.
Well, I mentioned Graham Potter before because I think he's a manager whose reputation is massively overflated. He's not delivered the goods. His tactics aren't good. His analysis of games is not good. I just wonder how they get the job, actually. I'd be very surprised, again, if Graham Potter manages another Premier League team after he gets dismissed from West Ham, because it's a stone cold certainty that he will. In fact, he might be the first one to be sacked this year. Might put your money on him, Phil.
So there we go. But anyway, back to Arsenal. Thoughts on Arsenal?
Yeah, well, it's an absolute certainty for a away win. Nothing against Man United. But, you know, just let's just do a clear distinction about where Arsenal finished last season and where United finished, the level of performances. Let's even compare the different signings. I think they'd be more strategic, more insightful. And I think they'd just enhance what they had already. Whereas with you guys, I think it's still very much experimental. Whereas I think Arteta's in a very strong position to sort of just develop that strength in depth of his team and his squad. You know, to be fair to Amorim, he hasn't got that luxury at the moment to embed the players, because he hasn't got that nucleus of a team to build new signings around. That's my perception. But I think it's a very different story with Arsenal, and I think that will be telling in today's game. And I predict Arsenal 4, Manchester United 1.
He said that with a smile on his face. And it's quite interesting what he says about Arsenal. Yeah, I mean, obviously Mikel Arteta's got obviously a number of years head start, so it is a bit of an unfair comparison at this stage. But, you know, I have to agree with some of the things that Dennis is saying, but the pressure that is on Arteta is the fact that he's won 0 trophies for 5 years. He needs to win at least a trophy this season, because you can not win the league, and it can be a bit unfortunate. Personally, I don't think they weren't 2 seasons ago. They did choke 2 seasons ago. Last season, they just kept drawing. I mean, Graham Potter beat Arsenal, went to the Emirates and won at Arsenal. It's amazing what could happen within football, and that was probably the death knell at that point for Arsenal season. But you do think that Arteta does need at least a trophy this season or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's stating the obvious. You know, you see it on all these podcasts and Football Focus and, oh, Arteta's under pressure. You know, the fucking bus driver on the number 19 bus is under pressure when his bus is full and someone else wants to get on the bus.
Can I just say apologies for the language from Dennis. I don't know what we might have to put a bit of a sticker on that. I don't know. Well, I'll ask the curator when he goes up. Oh yeah, they sorry at last. I mean, he swears a lot when he's not on the pod about Manchester United and laughing as well. So basically, Dennis has gone for a 4-1 Arsenal win. I will be back. Team news comes up in about 15 minutes, so we'll have a little ditty about that, and then Dennis can talk us through his thoughts on the Manchester United team. So the team news is out. Dennis has been warned not to swear. Sorry, I mean, it's like we're on Big Brother or something when Davina says, please don't swear, we're live. But anyway, the team news is out. In goal, he's buying Deer. Back three, it's De Ligt, Yoro and Luke Shaw. The two in midfield are Bruno Fernandes and Casemiro. The wide players are Dorgu and Diogo Dalo, with Mbeumo, Cunha and Mason Mount as the three further forward. So it'll be interesting to see who actually plays through the middle. Obviously, Sesko is on the bench. Hoyland not involved at all, would suggest he's probably going to be leaving the football club, or he's looking at a situation where the club are going to see if he can get a deal can be done that suits them before the transfer window closes. But then obviously if that doesn't happen, he will be involved. You don't want a player to be injured. So your thoughts on that team, Dennis? No swearing, please.
Yeah, I mean, what is striking for me is some of your defensive lineup, particularly Shaw and Delight.
Delit, get it right.
Delit, sorry. I just think it's an accident waiting to happen defensively. You know, Shaw's no longer got the pace he once had. Delight hasn't either.
Delit
then, okay.
Please.
Pronunciation.
Do you like Angel Delight? Is it Delight? It was, Dennis. Do you like Angel Delight as a kid?
It's a Freudian slip, wasn't it? But, again, he's paceless. And what I saw last season, as a Manchester United, you know, just as a neutral.
I was about to say as a Manchester United hater there, but he stopped himself.
If I was a Manchester United fan, I'd be concerned about what the defence looks like. And even your goalkeeper, I think that's the ongoing problems there.
Well, yeah, it's a shambles. I mean, as I say, I feel sort of Bayern has got to start because Zanana's been injured, but there was talk Anana might come back. Anana's a joke. He should be kicked out of the football club, but unfortunately, we're stuck with him. As I say, I've said this before, and I was discussing with my friend how it's... Or part of the problem is, why the hell is Tom Heaton still at this football club, and why the hell is he on the leadership team? This is a guy that wanted to leave the football club. When Luton came to the Premier League, the club thought, we need to keep him because we can't find a placement. That is not the running of a football club. It's running, we just want a cheap reserve player instead of actually building up reserves in the goalkeeper. Remember, it was all David De Gea's fault, and a lot of the fans of Manchester United wanted the change. Unfortunately, the club cocked it up, and sometimes you reap what you sow. Oh, Dennis is pointing at me. You want to say something?
No, I'd say the point you made about Tom Heaton is a very valid one. I mean, the impact of keeping him on the books and sacking dinner ladies, you know, the dinner ladies would have had a far more positive impact on the club and the identity of the club than Tom Heaton. I also see retaining his employment as a slur on the young lads coming through, preventing them from developing. It's almost like we don't put our faith in the youth coming through. It's a disgrace. And again, it brings into question Amorim's judgment and man management.
I bet you thought it'd be me that would say that's a disgrace this season, but Dennis has thrown it in there. So, Dennis, just to repeat your prediction, officially
revision.
Oh, a revision! A Dennis revision. We get a lot of them. Go on, 5-1.
No,
5-0.
No, Manchester United 1, Arsenal 3.
3-1. He's gone 3-1 to Arsenal. So we'll see how the game goes. I will be back post-match. Big thanks to Dennis for his input. We will try and get him. Not next week. We'll probably try and get him on possibly maybe after the Burnley game. It depends.
Should he be sanctioned for swearing, Phil?
We'll have to wait and see what happens. I mean, if the pod can't go up with your swearing, I'll have to do a completely new one at the end of the game. Thanks for that, Dennis.
Just an error of judgment.
An error of judgment. Obviously, I don't know what he was thinking about. I mean, I think he's had an issue with bus drivers or something. He must have had. He does argue with a lot of people, Dennis, so he must have had an argument with a bus driver, and it's still affecting him now. So anyway, I'll be back post-match. We'll see how the game goes. All done at Old Trafford, it's finished. Manchester United 0, Arsenal 1. A disappointing result for Manchester United. Some green shoots, a reasonable performance, but a poor goal given away. And despite having more shots on goal, more shots on target, more possession, United couldn't force the goal. And in a match like that, you need to be able to do that. I know Arsenal do have the best defence in the Premier League. I think they had the best defence last season. I know Liverpool were quite close. And they're solid at the back. And you may argue that if they played as they did today against other teams, they may have scored more than one. They may have scored at least one goal. But in every game, every time you play, it's a different situation. Different things can happen within a game. And the opportunities were there today, but they didn't take them. I mean, Raya made a couple of brilliant... I mean, the one from Boomer in the second half was a routine one, but the one for Cunha at the other end, didn't realise he'd saved it. The one for Cunha was an absolutely brilliant save. But that was sort of the difference, because Bayindir made a massive mistake for the goal. He was weak, should have been stronger. And should have cleared the ball away or commanded his box better. I mean, we were talking about Tom Heaton before the match, and some people will say, well, we were calling Tom Heaton. Tom Heaton shouldn't be at the football club. Tom Heaton shouldn't be the other option to Altay Bayindir. Altay Bayindir shouldn't be the other option to Andre Onana. United need a goalkeeper. It was obvious throughout the whole summer that they need a goalkeeper, because neither Heaton, neither Bayindir, neither Onana are good enough. We know that, but they just left it. And I think the manager's picked Bayindir. I think Heaton is... People like Heaton because he's a good professional. As I say, he wanted to leave the football club 3 years ago to go to Luton. The club wouldn't let him go because he was a good... Because we had him as the cheap alternative as our third choice goalkeeper. Because that's the issue at the football club. We'd rather actually keep players because they're cheaper to keep than actually get rid of them. And this is a player that wanted to leave, than get rid of them. And then because we'd have to get another goalkeeper, and we might have to pay them a little bit more. But that's what happens. As I say, I mentioned it before when I was speaking to Dennis. Fans of this club want to dab their hair out of this football club. You reap what you sow. You've got what you deserve. Situation where we've got three goalkeepers that are up to the standards that are required for Manchester United. And, maybe things will happen in the background of getting in a new goalkeeper. But as I say, Jason Wilcox, he's done a reasonable job. He's brought in three very good players up front. I mean, Cunha and Mbeumo had good games. Although Cunha, for me, was pretty much anonymous in the first half, apart from that one shot. But then when he actually played in the second half, when he had a striker in the middle, you saw so much better work from Cunha. Cunha has to be allowed to play in those number 10s. And the same with Mbeumo. Sesko, we need him to get up to speed sooner rather than later, and he needs to be starting matches. I mean, I personally wouldn't get rid of Rasmus Højlund for the sole reason that who's going to be our other striker if Sesko gets injured or Sesko doesn't perform? We've got massive problems because Mason Mount is a false number 9 or even Cunha and Mbeumo playing as that 9. That's not their best position. Play players in their best position. And so sort of, as I said, a reasonable performance. As I say, with some green shoots, but you have to be able to get results. Arsenal were at their best today, but they were solid. They were good with the ball. They were much better with the ball than we were on the majority of the cases. I mean, even the goal, it was a poor pass from Bruno that led to the corner, then they scored the goal. And teams will now target that. They will target Altay Bayindir, and the defenders are going to have to try and protect, but Bayindir has to command his box. I mean, defensively, I thought United were pretty solid today. The midfield, they're still concerned, but we know that. I mean, Bruno Fernandes and Casemiro, they're slow. Bruno's good on the ball. Casemiro not as good on the ball as he used to be. So that is an area that will be targeted. The forward line played pretty well. The wide players were good as well. Dalot was decent enough. And then Ahmad, who came on. The one good thing I know was the players seemed to understand the system better. But then you're still, you're not going to help yourself when you're giving the ball away, when you're playing poor passes, you're not tracking runners. You've got to still do all that. But in terms of the shape and the positions the players were in, they did look pretty settled. And then, the talk is obviously you're playing Arsenal, who could have won the league the last two seasons, but didn't. But they're one of the best sides in the country. But you still have to replicate those kinds of performances in the matches to come. And their huge matches comes in the next, United's next three matches, Fulham away, Grimsby away, Burnley at home. Massive games, and if United lose any of them at any point, there's going to be pressure. And the manager knows that already. He knows he's under pressure. He talked about it last season. He said last season, if things ain't going to improve, it won't be him that will be carrying on at this football club. But United especially I think if United can start getting goals, that is going to be key, because they're going to leak goals, and not necessarily because of the defenders, but because of the goalkeeper and the targeting of the goalkeeper. I mean, who comes in? If you drop out of Bayindir, who comes in? Andre Onana, no thanks. Tom Heaton, no thanks. All three of them, no thanks. But he has to pick one of them, because unless a goalkeeper's brought in, and I think there's all the talk about Baliba and strengthening the midfield. If it's one more signing in this summer transfer window, it has to be a goalkeeper. End of conversation. Because if you're always going to be leaking goals, United's forward line better start being able to score two or three goals a game. And I think when they play more together, I think Sesko starting through the middle, Cunha and Mbeumo, you'll have other options. Obviously, you'll have Mason Mount. Bruno Fernandes could possibly play in that position as well. You'll have other options in that situation. But obviously, next week, it's a Fulham game. Massive, massive game. It's a massive week. Three games in six days. And United need to be getting results from all of them. It's the same. I mean, people will look at the Grimsby game and say that game doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. It does. United need to be winning matches. And you win matches, that brings confidence. And United will want them to progress as far as they can in the majority of games this season. They've essentially only got one game a week for the majority of the season. Obviously, cup matches will be thrown in. And obviously, there'll be midweek rounds of matches which they'll have to throw in. But this is an opportunity. And this will give a chance for the players and the manager and to set up in the right way, in the right formation, and to create opportunities and to become a better football team, which is one thing they 100% need to do. But they need to be getting results as well. If you're not getting results, it really doesn't matter. So, first game of the season, another defeat. Maybe partly expected because we'll play at Arsenal at home. But it is a defeat, and you know it's a long time till the next match, and there'll be a lot of talk and a lot of stuff written about and said about. But United players have to get themselves in that bubble. The manager has to get himself in that bubble and get themselves ready for the Fulham match. So as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk. Up as various podcast platforms such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, Pcast. Search MUFC Global, and it will come up. Next up is Fulham next week. Don't think Dennis is coming on, so there won't be any swearing. As I say, I don't know if say I'll try and get some up with it, whether he does have a big issue with bus drivers. We'll find out maybe if he's willing to come out. I mean, Dennis was messaging on the wind up. He was very pleased that Arsenal won, not 4-1 though, Dennis. So that prediction was wrong. Well, 4-1, 3-1. He changes it as the wind blows. So as I say, whatever Dennis says doesn't matter in regards of what Manchester United need to do next. They need to turn up and perform and get some kind of result at Fulham next Sunday before two more important matches after that. So thanks for listening, and I'll be back with you after the Fulham game on next Sunday. Yep. Well, football season is back, or the Premier League part of the football season is back. It looks like it's going to be a long one for Manchester United. Not with as many games, but it could be a long one.